first Sunday after Pentecost, and also the Feast of the Holy Trinity, which always suppresses this first Sunday, Trinity Sunday, that will be here in Lexington, Kentucky. And the epistle here for this Feast of the Holy Trinity is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has first given to him the recompense maybe should be made unto him? For from him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the gospel. Taking that according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go ye therefore, make ye disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Well, today is the Trinity Sunday, and it is the day in which we celebrate, of course, the great Feast of the Holy Trinity. Every day is a Feast of the Holy Trinity, because it is a Feast of God. But remember that there are four things necessary that we have to know in order to go to heaven. And it's interesting how in the world today it's been changed. Over 100 years ago, some theologian said, you only have to know two things to go to heaven. God created the world out of nothing, and God is going to reward the just, and he's going to reward the unjust. He'll reward the just with heaven, he'll reward the unjust with hell. The God will is the rewarder, and God is the creator. And as long as you know that, you know enough. We know we're made by God, but we must worship God. But God gave us divine revelation, and he gave it to us at the very beginning when God created Adam, and then he walked with Adam every day, and he gave him infused knowledge. And even in the Old Testament, he said very clearly, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not just the God of Abraham. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Abraham tells us about the Spirit of the Father, Isaac, the Spirit of the Son, and Jacob, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And we have to know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that the Son became man and died on the cross for our sins. But in recent times, you say, you don't have all that matters is you only need to know that God is the Father, and there is only one God. Whenever we believe that there is only one God, who is not three in one, we take God and we chop him in bits. We're not worshiping the true God. The true God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He is not chopped into bits. And so that whenever we say that we worship only one God, we are not worshiping the true God, unless that God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we can't imitate the true God. We can't obey the true God. We can't love the true God. We can't live a good life in this world without the help of the true God. And therefore, it's most necessary that we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we tell our children from the very beginning, when a little child is beginning to pray, before he learns his first prayer, he learns, make the sign of the cross. And the mother takes his hand, touches it to his head, in the name of the Father. And then to the breast, in the name of the Son. And under the shoulders, left and right, in the name of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that whenever you meet a Catholic, how do you know there's a Catholic? He's the one that always makes a sign of the cross. And when you see that sign, what do you see? Oh, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that this is most necessary for salvation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that we can't just simply say that we believe in God, but we must believe in the true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And here, as we have today, we begin to read in the breviary, and one of the unfortunate changes they made in the breviary in the late 50s was to remove this prayer from the breviary, from this Sunday we read it, but then on all the following Sundays you don't read it anymore in the Office of Prime. So in the Office of Prime on Sunday, we say, as the fourth psalm, there's normally three psalms, but on Sunday there's added a fourth psalm. And the fourth psalm is the Creed of Athanasius. But when he was a deacon, he wrote this creed. He wasn't yet a priest. And he said, what is it, what's necessary to be safe? Quicumque vult salvus esse. Whoever wants to be safe, whoever wants to be well, whoever wants to be saved, whoever wants to have security in his life and to be safe forever, we say we have to be saved. To save means to be made safe, to be made well, to be made sound, to be made wholesome. And to be made safe, well, sound, and wholesome, the only way is to believe in the truths of our faith. Hence the Athanasian Creed, which we read today in the Office of Prime, says, whosoever willeth to be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. So whoever wants to be safe, before everything else, before food for your belly, before the comfort of friends for your heart, before taking care of the house and your sustenance, before anything else, whosoever wishes to be safe, whoever wants to be safe, we're in the most unsafe time in history right now. And why is this? Whosoever willeth to be safe, it, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. And why is it now the world in such a terrible shape? Because we don't hold the Catholic faith. Catholics don't hold the Catholic faith. And much less those that are outside the faith, of course they don't hold the Catholic faith. And so now the Catholic faith is being held by almost no one. And hence, we're in the most insecure time in the history of the world. We're waiting for the police to come and break down our doors. We're waiting for the criminals to come and rob us. We're waiting for our families to fall apart. We're waiting for the economy to collapse. We're waiting for the stars to fall from heaven, for Planet X to come and hit us. Everybody waits for Planet X every few years. Somebody told me about Planet X last week. What do you know about Planet X? Every 4 years it shows up whenever there's an election. So Planet X is going to come and hit us. Everybody knows something bad is supposed to happen. And we're in the most insecure age, nuclear war. Why are we insecure? Why is the world unsafe? The Deacon Athanasius said, and we used to read in our Holy Breviary today and every Sunday until the end of the season of Pentecost, whosoever willeth and desireth to be safe, not just safe forever in heaven, but to be safe here on earth, before all things else, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. Which faith, except everyone, do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish eternally. So they took that away from our prayers a few years ago. Whosoever does not hold this Catholic faith whole and undefiled, he shall perish eternally. And now we have a problem today, and the problem of the last 500 years, which is the heresy of Protestantism. The belief that as long as you believe in Jesus, as long as you believe in God, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how your heart is. It doesn't matter anything else. Just make sure you only believe in Him. And this is a chopping apart of the Trinity. Whenever we say our faith, we always say it in the mode of the Trinity. Now, the Catholic faith is this. Continues St. Athanasius. Whoever willeth to be safe, before all things else. And our Lord said there are other things we need. Remember in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord said, why do you worry about what you shall eat? Why do you worry about what you shall drink or what you shall put on? After these things the pagans seek. Behold, the lilies of the field neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but the Heavenly Father takes care of each one of those. Are not you of much more value than they? And here is the key word of order. The Lord knows thou hast need of these things. Christ himself said, the Lord knows we need food for our belly. The Lord knows that we need raiment for our clothing. He's the one that first made the very first clothing. But Adam and Eve did not need clothing in the beginning because they were clothed with grace. But when they lost grace, they needed clothing. And who made the first clothes? God did. God knows we have need of clothes. God knows we have need of food. God knows we have need of drink. He knows our material needs better than we do. And he reminds us, dogs need food. Ants need food. Lilies need food. And God provides every one of them with what they need. So, therefore, St. Ignatius says in his creed, whoever wishes to be safe, before all things else that are necessary, it is necessary to eat. Our Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, as St. Augustine pointed out, he spent 40 days starving in the desert. And at the end of the 40 days, the angels came after the test of the fighting, the defeating the devil. He fought 40 days of starvation. He then waged war with the devil. And if he's only God, he wouldn't need any rest. He wouldn't need any food. But he's truly a man. And a man can fight, a man can fast, but he must have food. And therefore, at the end of the 40 days, angels came in the desert and they set a table for the Lord. And the angels fed him food in the desert. The angels brought miraculous food, just like real physical food. He ate bread. He ate a meal, a feast. And it was a very good feast, because angels aren't bad cooks. He made a very good feast. And he ate a very good feast in the deserts, sitting at a table. And the angels ministered to him. And St. Augustine says, remember what this word minister means. It means waiter. A minister is one who brings you breakfast, who brings you lunch, who brings you dinner. Our Lord Jesus Christ, before all self, all else, in his humanity, prepared to fight the devil. In his humanity, he fought the devil. In his humanity, he spoke the truth. And he was tired, and he was hungry. And God sent him an angel to bring him food, just like Habakkuk brought food to Daniel in the lion's den. And the Lord was exceedingly tired from all his nights of prayer, and very tired from his work throughout the day, teaching the souls and performing miracles. And he finally had a moment of rest, and he was so exhausted that he slept so soundly on the boat that a great storm could not wake him. That was not a miracle. That was a degree of exhaustion of Christ. That with the water being tossed so boldly, he was slept right through the greatest of storms, and only his apostles could wake him. He ate with this Last Supper with his apostles. We need to be together. We need food. We need raiment. But before all else, it is necessary to have the Catholic faith. And in our world today, we have decided that we don't need the Catholic faith because we've got big bank accounts. We don't need the Catholic faith because we've got the protection of our government. And we got security systems for our houses. And now you can buy computer security systems so no one can steal your money online. And you have the most secure bank. You have the anti-fraud department. And what's going to happen? Without Christ and without the Catholic faith, your money isn't safe. Your house isn't safe. You want a safe house? You want a safe bank account? You want a safe security of having food? Then say to our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Our Lord will give us our bread every day. He will give us our daily bread, provided that we worship our Father who is in heaven. Now the Catholic faith is this, says St. Athanasius, as he continues his creed, the Athanasian Creed, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. What's the first thing he says? He doesn't say We're grateful God created us. God didn't need to create us. We're not necessary. God's going to punish us, so therefore be good. That's what you do for Santa Claus. Because if you're not good, Santa Claus isn't going to bring you any toys. So you've got to be good so you can get toys at Christmas. And St. Athanasius says, we don't treat God like Santa Claus. We're not being good so we can get toys at Christmas. We're not being good just so we can get a reward in heaven. And we don't just worship God because we're grateful that we are created by Him. We worship God because He is God. Because He is goodness and truth and magnificence itself. And He revealed to us the most intimate and beautiful truth inside of Himself that we could never know without His revelation. And that is that He is three God. Three persons, one God. That He is three in God and one in God. Now the most necessary thing before the necessity of food, before the necessity of shelter, before the necessity of clothing, of raiment, the most necessary thing is to know that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, and another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, and the Godhead of the Son, and the Godhead of the Holy Ghost is one. The glory is equal, the majesty co-eternal. We believe the most more necessary than to believe that we need money for food and money for survival. More necessary than need the food and the physical things that we have. We must believe that there is one God. And the one God is three persons who are equal and co-eternal. Equal in majesty, equal in glory. And the Father is a person, and the Son is a person, and the Holy Ghost is a person, but there is only one Godhead. Such is the Father, and such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father, uncreated. The Son, uncreated. The Holy Ghost, uncreated. The Father does not come from any creation, and neither the Son nor the Holy Ghost. The Father, infinite. The Son infinite, and the Holy Ghost infinite. It's most necessary to know these things. You must know that there are Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That these three are one. The number three is never one. The number one is never three. But the three persons are the one Godhead, and the one Godhead is fully in the Father, and the one Godhead is fully in the Son, and the one Godhead is fully in the Holy Ghost. But there are not three Godheads, but only one. And he continues, so the Father is eternal, and the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet, they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also, they are not three uncreated, nor three infinities, but one uncreated and one infinite. So likewise, the Father is almighty, and the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son God, and the Holy Ghost God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, and the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. But they are not three lords, but one Lord. Hence, whenever we say our Lord, there are not three lords. The Father, who created and sent the Son to the earth, who created us and sent the Son to the earth. The Son, who came to the earth and died for our sins on the cross. And the Holy Ghost, who breathes life into our church and puts the Spirit of Christ inside of us and helps us to understand all the things that are in God and of God. They are not three lords, but one Lord. And so there is only one Lord. For like as we are compelled by Christian faith to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the faith and religion to say that there are three gods and three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Father's Son is begotten of the Father. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and the Son, not made nor created, but begotten, not nor begotten, but proceeding. The Father is the procession that comes from the Father. The Holy Ghost is the procession that comes from the Father and the Son. So there is one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity is nothing afore or after. Nothing is greater or less. All are perfectly equal. But the whole three persons are co-eternal, together, co-equal. So that is all in all things, as is aforesaid. The unity in Trinity, and the Trinity in the unity, is to be worshipped. He therefore that willeth to be safe, let him thus think of the Trinity. You want to be safe? He repeats it the third time. Whoever wants to be safe, make sure your mind is the right connection to God, because God created the food that you eat. God made the first clothing, and God gave us the rule of raiment. God gives us a house over our heads. God takes care of all things for us. And if you want to be safe, have the right idea about God. Hence, one of the great abominations of Vatican II. The Vatican II said, we Catholics and Christians and the Muslims worship the same God. The Muslims worship a God who is not three in one. They worship a God who is Satan. Whereas whoever wishes to be safe will know that God is one Godhead, one glory, one Almighty, one Lord, but three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man. And so he, but it is necessary to go eternal salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, right faith. One second here. But it is necessary to eternal salvation that he also believe. So we must also believe. So we must believe in the Trinity. And he explains that in the first part of the creed. But it is necessary for eternal salvation also that he believe faithfully in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The right faith, therefore, is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in this world. Perfect God, perfect man, of a reasoning soul and human flesh, subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, inferior as touching his manhood. Remember that Jesus Christ in his humanity is created. He is a man like unto us. In his divinity he is uncreated. He is equal to the Father in his Godhead, but like unto us in his manhood. That's why Christ said on Holy Thursday night, the Father is greater than I. The Father is greater than I in my humanity. The Father is not greater than I in divinity. As Son, he is perfectly identical and equal to the Father. But in humanity, he is created and lesser than the Father. Inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. Just as the Trinity is not three gods, so he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking on of the manhood unto God. One altogether, not by confession of substance, but the unity of person, so that there is a substance of God, the nature of God, the Godhead, and there is a substance of man, humanity, in Jesus Christ. He is true God and true man, and it is most necessary to believe that he is true God and true man in order to be safe. And that God, that man is one Christ who suffered for our salvation and descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. He is going to judge the living and the dead. At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies. Everyone is going to rise in the last day by the movement and power of the Blessed Trinity. And they shall give an account of their own works. And they that have done good shall go unto life eternal, but they that have done evil into eternal fire. So those that have done well, they shall go to life eternal. Those that have done evil, they shall go to eternal fire, which is called hell. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be safe. Now this is Holy Athanasian Creed, And that this that it is our creed, where St. Athanasius wrote it in about the year 325 A.D. And he wrote down what the church and Christ taught for the 300 years before him. And we will always do the same teachings to the very end of the world. And the center of our faith is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost created this world. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Lord of this world. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the image in which humanity is created and the likeness that we are supposed to be unto. And so the Blessed Trinity is essential to our holy faith and essential to all of us. And the Catholic faith is most necessary in order that we might be safe. There is no other way to be safe than by this holy Catholic faith. So as the Catholic faith to be the center of our lives, and it's what's needed to bring an end to the crisis in the world today, which was needed to bring peace and security back to our world, the Catholic faith, the most necessary thing, which faith is to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as our Holy Mother Church teaches it, as Christ spoke of it in the Holy Gospel, and to live firmly and boldly in the whole, according to this Blessed Trinity. The Father knows, the Son, the Father's faith, hope, and charity come from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We say we know, love, and serve God. We know God, love God, and serve God by following the Holy Trinity. In any case, we'll close it at that, and God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.